Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Mavericks and Misfits podcast. Today, Jeff Lyle will lead us to explore the profound concept of favor with God and man, a spiritual principle that can transform our lives. This idea, found in Proverbs 3 and exemplified in the lives of the Old Testament judge and prophet, Samuel, and also in the life of Jesus Christ, challenges us to intentionally partner with God in every aspect of our existence. We're reminded that favor isn't just about being loved by God or being saved. It's about living in alignment with His will and purpose. As we grow in wisdom, stature, and in our relationships with both God and others, we open ourselves to experiencing supernatural favor. This favor can manifest in open doors, accelerated progress, and divine partnerships that we couldn't achieve on our own. Now, Jeff will help us to unpack this potent potential for each of our lives.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Mavericks and Misfits podcast. Thanks for tuning in today. If you're a first-time listener, first-time viewer, my name's Jeff Lyle. I'm the senior leader at Antioch Outpost. That is our home church in the city of Bethlehem. Love that name of that city, of course. And that's in the state of Georgia. We're in the buckle of the Bible Belt down here in the southeastern part of the United States. And Mavericks and Misfits is under the umbrella of our broader ministry called Transforming Truth. And if you're interested in further teachings, even deeper teachings, hour-long messages from our host church at Antioch Outpost, you can check out transformingtruth.org and you can have access to all sorts of teachings. We make everything available for free. If you don't have the Transforming Truth app, that is a one-stop shop, and you can get everything I put out. All my social media links are there. I want to encourage you to follow me on Facebook, Jeffrey D. Lyle. Just look me up, search me, and I post devotionals there every single day, something to get you started off in the morning for your personal growth. And then also you can follow me on TikTok. I'll throw some videos out there. I think TikTok is The Ludwig Lyle. Don't ask me about Ludwig Lyle. One day I'll tell you, but that has been a moniker I've used since probably 1994. But the TikTok is the Ludwig Lyle, and then Instagram is Ludwig Lyle, and Twitter X is Word Spirit Guy. So if you are a social media junkie, if you like good, enriching stuff, so follow me on X at Word Spirit Guy. Facebook, Jeffrey D. Lyle, Transforming Truth, nope, yep, sorry, too many things to remember. We need just like one central location. You can check out transformingtruth.org, have access to a lot of teaching, I write a blog there every now and then, and and so my whole purpose in life is to communicate God's kingdom to people. It's to reform the American church with whatever influence I've got. I don't have a massive footprint, but I think we are helping some people. And that's really my call. My call is to just be able to take God's truth and say, will you stare at it a little bit? Will you look at the truth of the Word of God? Will you become somebody that eats the Bible? We need the Word of God. We need the Holy Spirit. You don't have to pick between the two. Most churches are either Word churches or Spirit churches. We need both. Why? Because that's what the early church had. They had apostolic doctrine, the Word, and then they had the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit. I am an unapologetic Word and Spirit guy. I am a charismatic in the sense that I believe all the gifts of the Holy Spirit are available and active today. They are normative: prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, healings, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. I do believe in miracles. I believe in signs and wonders. I'm connected to a large ministry called the North Georgia Revival, and there are 8 years of recorded miracles going on through, of all things, the waters of baptism. So I'm not apologizing for any of my views. If you don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, I just encourage you, man, prove it by the Bible. Prove they have ceased by the Word of God. Because if you can prove it in the Word of God, but newsflash, spoiler alert, you won't be able to. I did my thesis. I did my Master's of Divinity thesis on this topic. Can a sola scriptura hermeneutic, is it compatible with cessationism? That's a big fancy way of saying, does the Bible itself teach that the gifts have ceased? The answer is no. And I had to write a really long paper to establish that. And I was going to a college at the time, a seminary, that didn't believe in the gifts. And so I submitted a paper, does the Bible prove, can you arrive at cessationism through a sola scriptura hermeneutic? I wrote that paper in a cessationist school, and I got an A on it. They may not have liked my conclusion, but they couldn't argue with the academics in that thing. And so, listen, we need the word. I'm a word guy. I love my Bible, and it is my love for the Bible that showed me that the gifts of the Spirit have not ceased. And if you aren't participating in the gifts of the Spirit, you need to seek earnestly the gifts of the Spirit. That's what the Word of God commands us to do. And so that's where I stand. If you're a Word and a Spirit person together, you're a maverick. Hence the name of the podcast. You're a maverick because you just buck the system. If you're a Spirit person and you're in a Word church, you're bucking the system because most Word churches don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. If you're a Word person but you're in a Pentecostal charismatic churches, got to call it like it is. A lot of our Pentecostal charismatic churches don't really exegete the Scriptures. So you're a maverick. And when you live as a maverick in the American church, you will be a misfit. It means you won't quite fit in. But you know what? We're to get along with each other. We're to give grace to each other. And we are to do our best to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So that's kind of where I stand. Let me tell you about a quick project, tell you quickly about a project that Amy and I'm mentioning it quite a bit in these podcasts lately because we are in a fundraising season for this project. Shiloh Collective is a ministry that is going to be, Lord willing, opening up before Christmas. I hope so. The county is working with us right now. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, you can see these pictures. If you're listening, you can't, but you can look us up on YouTube. Look for the Mavericks and Misfits podcast. This ugly building that I'm showing a picture of right now is going to house Shiloh Collective. It's about a 3,000, it's actually about 2,850 square feet. And we're going to be turning this ugly building that once looked like this with all of the shop stuff in it and a place where roofing material and race cars were built, had a couple of different businesses in it. We have demoed it and it is now empty. And it looks like this. It is removed everything. That ugly floor will become a polished floor. All of those blank walls will have sheetrock. There will be windows. There will be HVAC. There will be everything that is needed in a building. All of that junk that you're seeing right there is gone, and we have cleared it out. And all we're waiting for now is a couple of things. We're waiting for some funding, and we are waiting for the county to greenlight us. They've given us permits for things like septic tank. Here's a picture of us clearing out some trees, this little video that's running right now, and we've cleared out some trees to make room for parking, and we have graded the parking lot. We put in new septic so that everybody can go to the bathroom, things like that. And so it's happening. There's still work happening, but when it's done, it's going to look like this. It's going to be a beautiful place where people and a lot of young adults, Amy and I are going to get back into pouring our lives into young adults. We want to host them. We want to feed them. We want to gather with them. We want to mentor them. We want to disciple them. I have some friends in the marketplace, very high successful businessmen that want, he and I want to mentor young men. Sorry, ladies, there is a need for men mentoring men. So he and I will mentor young men. Amy and I will pour into both men and women, young men. And it's just going to be an incredible place. And I love creating new stuff for the glory of God, creating new opportunities for Jesus. And the place is going to hold about 100 people at a time. We can probably get 150. In there, but we got to wait and see what kind of limitations the county puts on us. And it's going to be places to eat, places to sit, places to pray, places to sing. We'll have a little platform for worship nights and things like that, and a teaching and instruction. And I just think it's going to be an incredible thing for us to be able to do this, but we cannot do it without your help. And so I am praying that God will move on some of you to partner with me and Amy. Everything you donate is tax deductible. You're going to give through Transforming Truth. If you go to transformingtruth.org, click on the donate button. There is a selection, an option that says Prayer and Training Center. That is Shiloh Collective. We're going to do a whole episode, Amy and I, on what the name Shiloh means, how it's prophetically connected to her family bloodline. And it's going to be such a cool story to tell, but I want Amy to tell that part of it. But listen, we're raising funds for it. I have to raise at least $100,000, probably more, but I'm starting with a $100,000 goal. I'm not asking you to do anything that I haven't already done. I've already sunk about 10 grand of my own money. I'm donating. Amy and I are donating the building. That's a building that we could generate about $3,500 a month of rental income God said, no, use it for kingdom. So we're putting our foot forward. We're saying we're going to do this, but we can't do it without you. I'm praying that some of you, whether you can give $5, $500, $5,000, it doesn't matter. We've had one donation that was like $13,000. We've had a couple more. A church gave $5,000 last month. So churches are partnering with us, but this is going to impact the coming generation. Since the assassination of Charlie Kirk, I think the millennials, Gen X, and boomers have awakened to the fact that we have got to pour into this next generation to combat the deception that they're getting from kindergarten all the way through university. And so if you want to help us do that, go to transformingtruth.org, click on the donate button. There's also the ability on that same page to donate by Cash App, by Venmo. You can donate at Venmo at Transforming Truth is the handle, at Transforming Truth on Venmo, $ Transforming Truth on Cash App. You can give by check. There's a mailing address there. Listen, I'm just talking to my friends here. I'm talking to people that love Jesus, love the kingdom, love to advance the kingdom, and have a burden for this coming generation. I need some heavy hitters to step up. I love the fact that people are contributing literally $5, $10. I need that. We have to have that. But there are some of you that are super abundantly blessed of God. And I'm asking you to consider, pray, and ask God to give you a number to come alongside of us and help us. It is happening, but I can't do it without your help. So that's my plea today. Thank you for listening to that. Shiloh Collective is going to be a reality. Now, let's get into today's topic. I want to talk to you about a phrase that you'll find a few times in scriptures. This phrase describes having favor with God and man. Did you catch that? Having favor with God and man. And probably the most interesting thing about that phrase is that it's applied to Jesus. That Jesus, as the Son of Man, as one of us, said of him that he grew in favor and stature with God and man. It's not the only time it's used, but when I remember, I woke up. Can I just tell you how I decided I was going to talk about this today? I literally woke up and I had that phrase in my spirit. I have no idea why, other than I think the Lord wanted me to talk to you about it today. And so here I am a couple of hours later sitting in front of a camera and a microphone, and I'm saying, I want to talk to you about this thing about having favor with God and man. You say, why, Jeff? Why do you want to talk to us about that? Because you need it. You need favor with God and man. That's what you need in life. And it is something that God grants. It is something that is available. It is something that has both a spiritual and a practical impact on your day-to-day life. You need favor with people, and you really need favor with God. So let me go there in the scriptures. I'm going to start way back in the book of Proverbs. So let me go back to the book of Proverbs. And in a famous proverb, chapter number 3, I'm going to redo verses 3-6 to kind of set the table for this. So this is what Proverbs 3:3 says. Do not let steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. This is a father writing to a son here. This is the context. He says, don't lose steadfast love and don't lose faithfulness. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Favor, good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord. Here come the famous verses. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge God. He will make straight your paths. So in Proverbs chapter 3, a lot of people have heard verses 5 and 6, but what about verses 3 and 4 that talk about you finding favor and success that is connected to your relationship with God and your relationships with people? That intrigues me. I have learned a long time ago that life without God was abysmal. It was terrible. I wasn't saved till I was 24 years old. And I lived all those previous 24 years at various levels of independence from God. Many years, a decade of those 24 years in outright rebellion against God. I had no favor with God. I was actually living under the potential wrath of God because I had rejected Jesus Christ. I had said no to his lordship. I was not going to submit to his authority. And I had a form of godliness, but I denied the power because I would not yield and surrender to Jesus. I had head knowledge of him. I believed the facts about the gospel. I'd even prayed that little prayer to ask Jesus to come into my heart. But I lived shaking a fist in the face of God. I was defiant and rebellious, no favor with God. And it didn't go well for me. God saved me in August of 1994, and immediately I began to find favor with God. I'll talk to you about that as we go on. But this other component about having favor with man, people don't know what to do with. Listen, you're a human being. You live on earth. Your life is connected to various types of relationships, some of them superficial, some of them very deep and meaningful. But your life is not an island. You are connected to people. You're also living in a culture based on systems. And those systems require an interdependence of your life with the lives of others. And that's everything from where you buy gasoline, to where you get your teeth cleaned, to where you work, to the people in your family, to the people in your church, to how you make money, where you invest, who helps you. Favor with man is incredibly important, and yet we don't talk too much about it. So let me go there. I'm going to read you another statement from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26. Samuel, the final judge before Israel moved to the era of the kings. Samuel was a judge, he was a prophet, but at first he was a little boy whose mother, Hannah, dedicated Samuel to the work of the Lord. And as he was dedicated to the work of the Lord, serving the high priest Eli, serving in the tabernacle, this is what the scripture says about the boy Samuel. It says, "Now the boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor with Yahweh and also with man." And so we have it again. You got it in Proverbs 3. You've got it in 1 Samuel chapter number 2. You've got a little boy progressing, maturing, developing in both the physical, the mental, the spiritual. He's growing up. He's learning life. He's getting bigger physically. He was a little boy. He's like 4 years old when his quote-unquote ministry began, and he ends up as an old man in his whole life as a Nazirite, dedicated by his mother under the work of the Lord. His whole life was about serving God from little boyhood all the way to being a very elderly man who anointed the first king of Israel named Saul and then anointed the greatest king of Israel up to Jesus Christ, whose name was David. So Samuel had favor with man. He clearly had favor with God. And so then you get to Luke chapter number 52, and Luke chapter 2, verse 52. This is the mind blower, because this is what it says about the Son of God, who was also the Son of Man. He was divine, and he was human. And in as it pertains to his humanity, this is what the scripture says about Jesus. It says in Luke 2:52 that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. Now, to me, that's a little bit kind of like, whoa, that God submitted himself to the earthly pilgrimage. Jesus gestated in Mary's womb for 40 weeks, came through the birth canal, was birthed and covered in blood, nursed at his young teenage mother's breast. Listen, I'm not being irreverent here, but all of the bodily functions that human beings do, God the Son did. Jesus, listen, I'm not being irreverent. This is kind of fragile here, but like Jesus had to be potty trained. Jesus had to learn to urinate. Jesus had to learn to read. Jesus had to learn how to write and talk. God submitted himself to the human experience, which requires progression. And as the Son of Man, Jesus Christ grew in stature. That speaks of all the developmental processes that human beings go through: academic, intellectual, emotional, learning, language, obeying his mom, obeying his earthly father, Joseph, learning how to do all the things I just mentioned. He grew in stature. He grew up physically. Listen, Jesus went through adolescence and puberty. Jesus's voice changed from a little boy voice to a man voice. Jesus had a jawline. Jesus's body produced testosterone and hair and things like that. All of that stuff, we're just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. No, you have to recognize he was fully human. And he grew in stature. He grew physically. He grew intellectually. The Bible says he grew in wisdom, that he submitted his divine intellect as God to the process of learning. The omniscient one submitted himself to the human experience of learning and education. And then it says he grew in favor with the Father. He grew in favor. Remember, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The scripture says Jesus always did those things that pleased the Father. Jesus said, "My Father is working and I work. I see what the Father is doing and I am doing that. I hear what the Father is saying and I speak that." And every time Jesus in the human experience obeyed, it pleased the Father. There is a certain element where Jesus had to live his life in the human experience unto God by trust, by submission, by obedience. And as that happened, as a human, he grew in favor with God. And then, especially when you get to Luke 2:52, it's in the context, one of the only snapshots we have of Jesus in his childhood, that he went to the temple, he confounded the religious doctors of the law, the preachers, the teachers, the scribes. At an adolescent age of about 12 years old, he's blowing the minds of the intellectually elite in the religious context. And it says he began to grow in favor with people. Now, we are well aware that when he embarked on his earthly ministry at the age of around 30 years old, 31, that the favor with man was also coupled with deep, deep rejection and persecution with people. But to the ones who believed in him, he gained favor with people by what he did and how he did it. He healed, he forgave. He confronted the religious people who were oppressing the common man. He spoke out against injustice. He came to the aid of the defenseless and the marginalized. He actually fed the hungry. He took little children up into his lap. Oh, he raised the dead. He cured illnesses. He cast out demons. And people that had faith saw all of that happening, and they said, "This is Messiah." So he gained favor with people. He had favor with the Father, not simply because he was the divine Son, but because he was the Son of Man who showed and patterned as the prototype of what it means to live in submission and surrender and trust of the Father. He patterned that for us, and the Father said, "I like what he is doing. Pay attention to him. Hear him." So this whole concept of growing in favor with God and man is something you need in your life. To have the favor of God on your life is not the same as being loved by God. It is not the same as being saved. There are people who are loved deeply by God who are not saved. I don't think God hates unbelievers. I think that God is love, and even the fact that unbelievers who rebel and reject him are experiencing things like air in their lungs, food on their table, clothing on their back, even prosperity and pleasure, God in his love offers that to those that are even rejecting him, because in his love he recognizes that this is the only pleasure they're ever going to have, because when they die in their sins, the rest of their life, their existence is torment. So he blesses now even those that are rejecting him. He is love, but that doesn't mean that they have favor. And there are a lot of saved people who don't have favor, and let me tell you why. Because they're not intentionally living their lives to honor God. Doesn't mean that they're not saved. Doesn't mean that they won't go to be with him when they die. It just simply means that there's something in their life that of a disconnect, that they are living life by their own resources, by their own wisdom, according to their own understanding. They are, in the case of Americans, they are proud and self-sufficient Americans, and they don't really feel the need for the favor of God because they're going to make life happen on their own. And a lot of people are successful at that. they're building a good life, they're enjoying life, but it's not because they are favored by God. It means they're graced by God because he allows them to do it. But having favor with God, hear me on this. How do you get favor with God? By intentionally partnering with God. You intentionally partner daily with God. You commune with God. You listen to God. You are instructed by God. You talk to God. You speak to God. You pray to God. You wait on God. You learn by faith what it means to partner with God. You learn to recognize what favor looks like. You start finding places and open doors and resources and relationships that are progressing you at an accelerated rate. You go places that you couldn't go on your own because you have the favor of God on your life. So when I'm thinking of the favor of God, I wake up every day and say, God, I don't want to live today in my own power. I don't want to live today by my own resources. I don't want to have to favor myself. I need favor with you. And there's this beautiful partnership that arises via the corridor of dependence and honor. If you honor God, he will honor you. If you are living your life intentionally, sacrificially, selflessly, lovingly, in alignment with the ways and the word of God, he will favor you. You should expect favor. I honor God with my finances, and the reason why I don't have any debt, the reason why I've got a paid-for home, the reason why I've got paid-for vehicles, the reason why we have food and shelter and clothing and the ability to finance kingdom works at a high level, the reason why is because I've honored God with my finances since about a week after I got saved. I began to tithe because that's the starting point. I began to tithe the week after I got saved when my boss told me, actually, it was probably a couple of weeks after I got saved. I began to give the day I got saved. The first Sunday I was in church, I'm giving. But I learned that principle of the tithe later. And from the tithe, I moved forward into financing missions, to supporting other works, to giving to the poor, to giving to the hungry, to doing secret anonymous works. I'm not bragging here. I'm telling you how you can get financial favor. I began to obey God with my finances and to honor God with my finances. I stopped asking, what's the least that I can give? I quit tabulating, oh, I'm giving too much. I need to hold. Some people hold back giving in an annual year because it doesn't give them any increase in their tax breaks. And so they could be more generous, but it doesn't make sense in the human world of taxation. I'm thinking, you're not going to have favor with God. Because you're not going to have as much favor as you could have because you're leaning to your own understanding. When I quit tabulating and quit counting and said, I'm going to give away as much of it as I can, when I revoked and renounced the American dream of making sure I could retire at an early age and just enjoy my days, I said, no, I want to keep earning income. I want to generate wealth to the highest degree that God can trust me with so I can keep giving all of my days. That's what it meant to have favor. Why do I have favor? Listen, I work hard. I work very, very hard, maybe too hard sometimes. So God generates income, and I use that income for the glory of the Lord. I partner with God in my finances. I partner with God in my relationships. I honor people. Doesn't mean I tell them everything that they want to hear, and doesn't mean I don't have a backbone. It doesn't mean that there's not conflicts. There's all of that. But I honor people as the imago Dei, the image of God. I treat people of every race, every creed, every social status. I treat them as the beloved of God. I try not to ever speak ill of people made in the image of God. I'm not always successful at that. I'm still being sanctified too, so there are times where I have to repent and say, God, I shouldn't have said that, or God, I shouldn't have thought that. But I try to honor God, and therefore I try to honor people. And here's the thing, when you honor God and you honor people, you have favor with God and you will have favor with people. I need help a lot in life. I'm doing a lot of stuff for the glory of God. You should be too. And you should be living above your ability to do it on your own. You should be in over your head. And when you're in over your head, you come to the repeated awareness, I actually can't live this life that I'm living for God without favor from him. And there are times, especially, hear me on this, in kingdom endeavors, where I've got to have favor with people. Some of you are business persons, and you need favor with investors. You need favor with employees. You need favor with those that might be above you organizationally. You need favor. You need God to give those people this desire to come alongside of you, this desire to believe in you, this desire to partner with you, this desire to help you. Sometimes what's interesting is I know when God is giving somebody favor with me. Let me explain that. I want favor with others, but there have been a few times in my life where I'm like, I am going to help this person. I know I'm supposed to do life with this person. I'm going to sacrifice for this person. I'm going to sow into this person. I'm going to invest time in this person. And I will become aware, because there's nothing in the natural that explains why I'm compelled to do this for this certain person. I will know immediately, God has given them favor with me. He's using me to help them. And there's no natural explanation for it other than God is doing it. God is giving that person favor with me. There are other times where I recognize, okay, God has given me favor with this person. There have been so many times where I'm doing something in the kingdom. We're doing it right now with Shiloh Collective that I mentioned earlier. God's going to give that project, me and Amy, favor with some of you. You're going to want to help. And some of you are going to write a big check or make a big online donation. I already know it. I don't know who you are yet, but when you act on that, that impulse that God puts in you, it's going to happen. I'm not manipulating. I'm not trying to get something out of you. I don't even know who you are. What I'm saying is it's going to happen. So whether it's Shiloh Collective, we've gone through building projects in the churches that I've led, raising funds constantly for Transforming Truth to be able to fund the Mavericks and Misfits podcast, to be able to fund our mission endeavors in East Africa and Europe and South America that we've done, and in the Caribbean. We've done that. That money's got to come from somewhere. Where does it come from? Viewers of the Transforming Truth broadcast, and God gives me favor. We've had people write $50,000 checks. I think the biggest check I ever got for ministry from one individual was about $55,000. That may not be much to some of y'all, but it was huge during those times, and it funds the work of God, works that He's entrusted me to lead. I need favor with man. I need favor with some of you. May God grant me favor with some of you in this new project. So I need favor with my wife. I need favor with my children. I need favor with the people I lead. I need favor with those that are over me. I am an employee of Kineo Ministry Training Center. I am not the boss. I have two people that have organizational headship over me, and I want favor with them when I bring them the ideas and the strategies that I believe God has given me for the school. But it, not only I need favor upward, I need favor that those that are under me organizationally. I need favor with these great employees at Antioch Outpost, Transforming Truth, and Kineo Ministry Training Center. I need favor with man. Why? Because my life is interconnected. I'm not an island. I'm not self-sufficient. I can't do it on my own. And nor can you, not the way that God wants you to do it. As I wrap up, let me tell you this. Listen, these verses that I've read kind of serve as a description and even a model for what I call holistic growth, that personal develop, your personal development, my personal development. It involves intellectual growth. Jesus grew in wisdom. It involves physical care. Jesus grew in stature. And it involves spiritual deepening, favor with God. All of that is stuff that you need to have this holistic growth in your life. Positive relationship with others. That's favor with man. Let's describe it like that. You need positive, fruitful relationship with other people. That's favor with human beings. And Jesus had it. So let's be reasoning people here. If Jesus needed favor with God and man to live out his destiny, how much more would you and I need it? We need to be like Jesus. Jesus grew. Jesus developed. Jesus had deepening relationships with people. And yet he was fully divine, but he was also the Son of Man. And so we see Luke 2:52 capturing human development in wisdom, physical growth, spiritual life, social relationships. And in Jesus, it actually affirmed his dual nature as God and human. And so whether it's Samuel or whether it's the counsel given to us in Proverbs 3, I'm leaving you with this today. You need to pray that you have favor with God. I ask God, I need you to give me favor on this. And one of the things that I remain constantly aware of is that he's not entitled to favor me. Listen, salvation is free. You don't do a thing to get salvation except bring your sin to the Son of God in repentance. The only thing you contribute to your salvation is the sin that made your salvation necessary. Salvation's a free gift. Favor isn't free. Favor is dependent on you being in alignment with God, because God won't favor what is not in alignment with him. So if you want favor, and I don't know that this should be the motivator for holy living, but it is a connector. If you're not living for God intentionally, sacrificially, deeply, lovingly, obediently, consistently, don't ask for favor until you start aligning yourself with the one who gives favor. But when you are aligned with him, expect it. Ask for it. God, I need favor. I need favor in my marriage. I need favor raising kids. I need favor in my body. I need favor with my finances. I need favor at work. I need favor in this season where I don't know what's going on. Lord, I need favor in this risk that I'm taking for your glory. I need favor. And God, I need you not only to give me favor from you, I need you to give me favor with other people. I'm feeling this like really strongly right now in the spirit. Some of you marketplace and investors, you've never prayed for favor. And this podcast, God is using to show you to add to your prayer list a desire, a daily request for God to give you favor with people. And when you start praying that, it'll start happening. And so what a great offer from heaven that we can have favor with the Almighty and we can have favor with people. And I hope you take it in consideration. I don't mind saying this as I close. Remember this project. Remember what God has given me and Amy to do. Remember the good that it's going to do in the lives of young adults. Remember how it's going to impact and help change a generation. Remember that Shiloh Collective is going to be an actual place in Dawsonville, Georgia. It will come to pass. And man, I am just praying that some of you, God, let me practice what I just taught. Lord, give me favor with some. And if he's moving on your heart to help me, please obey it. And we will see something great come from it. Today, I'm signing off. Thanks for tuning into the Mavericks and Misfits podcast. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Please follow us. If you're listening on audio streams, please rate and review us. If you're listening on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you're listening on the podcast, and leave us a review and follow us on our YouTube channel. Help us to increase our digital footprint so we can continue to reach more people with life-changing teachings from God's word and the power of the Spirit. We'll talk to you next time. God bless you.
I now personally want favor more in my life than I ever have before. Thanks, Jeff, for helping us understand how to better position ourselves with favor with God and to pray for favor with people. For more teachings like this, subscribe to the Mavericks and Misfits podcast on YouTube or watch full-length sermons on the free Transforming Truth app. See you next week in our newest episode.